KFKA and the Colorado Inn present Rams Weekly, an inside look at all things Rams football. Here's Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle, and Chris Abshire.
Well, one of those names is correct. Welcome in. It's Rams Weekly here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I am Tanner Schwint, who is in for Brady Hull, who is in on vacation this week. Kevin Lytle is making his way back from the pit. Kevin, to say that was a disappointing game might be an understatement.
Yeah, it was. Well, in some ways, it ended up kind of, I think, how many of us expect, especially as news came out that CSU was going to be, you know, as shorthanded basically as they've been all year. Obviously, New Mexico is very good, and then it was a perfect storm. Shorthand CSU. CSU, like most of the country, had a bunch of travel issues. Throw all that together, New Mexico played awesome. The Pit was at its, you know, full-throated best and pretty much a disaster recipe. That New Mexico team, with the way they played last night, though, they would be, you know, basically anyone. That was an impressive performance. Yeah, CSU certainly didn't do, you know, some things that needed to do, but man, New Mexico, that was almost one of those you just tip your cap and say, hey, well played, boys.
Well, and we talked about this, Kevin, when he joined us on Good Morning NoCo on Tuesday morning, about what the Pit environment was going to be like. You know, and I was wondering, because there wasn't a whole lot of students back from break yet, what it was going to be. But, boy, the community support showed up and showed off.
Yeah, I mean, 15,000 there, I think, is first time since maybe 2015 that they've had that many fans at a game. It was as loud as I've heard it, and about any arena that I've heard. Because a lot of times, you know, college, a lot of times you don't really want a 15,000-seat stadium because it can kind of create an empty atmosphere if you don't fill it. But, man, the Pit, when it's like that, it is a tough place to play. I mean, CSU, you know, Medved kind of joked about it after game. He said, I feel pretty safe saying we're not going to be the only team to come in here and get beat up pretty good. And I think that's definitely true. That place is hostile and in a good way. I mean, it's just a really great energy. And, you know, it's good for the Mountain West. Obviously not a fun night for CSU, but the Mountain West is, I think, at its best when New Mexico is one of the flagship programs. And so it's good to see them back. I mean, this team not only is looking like an NCAA tournament team, but probably a pretty well-seeded one right now. You know, obviously a lot of time left to play, but the crowd was awesome. It was, if you like college basketball, you enjoyed that one last night. If you're a CSU fan, maybe didn't love it, but you can still appreciate the atmosphere, I think.
Well, no, for sure. And I want to dive into what New Mexico being this good does for the Mountain West. But, Kevin, you know, Isaiah Stevens last night, 4 of 15 from the field, 10 points, just not, you know, 1 of 6 from the three-point line. Do you credit that more to, you know, New Mexico playing really good defense? Or was it an off night? Or is the new scouting report on CSU, you know, he shut down Isaiah Stevens and you take the risk of somebody else beating you?
I think it's a little bit of a hybrid of all those things. Part of it, you know, Isaiah just missed some shots. You know, I thought there were some looks that were decent that he just missed. And, you know, this is back-to-back poor shooting nights for him because he didn't shoot well in Phoenix against USC either. And that's pretty rare, you know, so I think we'll see a rebound from that. The other part, you know, Jalen House is a pest of a defender. He's one of those, you know, if you're looking at football analogy, he's your gambling cornerback. He'll get burned sometimes, but he's going to pick you off a few times. And then, absolutely, the scouting report is, you know, as soon as Isaiah Stevens came back, it was, he's the guy you have to shut down. So he's getting a ton of attention. You know, he's used to that. Even with David Roddy, it was always Roddy and Stevens. So it's a combo of all those things. I mean, I'm not going to put on any panic hat over Isaiah Stevens right now. It's just a couple bad shooting nights. I would expect him to be much better on Saturday, but no doubt, especially with the injuries and absences, if Isaiah doesn't have a very good game, CSU's going to be in trouble.
Well, this sounds really stupid, but every time Patrick Cartier has a good game, it really feels like the Rams struggle. So it's like one of those where you want to see the success from Cartier, but every time he does, it's like, the Rams lost this one. What the hell is going on with that?
Yeah, it is kind of funny. In the USC game, I think he had 22. He had 16 last night, led CSU in both of those. I think that's one of those just random fluky stats that he's put up some good numbers in games they've lost. You know, I think we are seeing Cartier, you know, find his footing even more. Not, he hasn't been bad at all this year, but you're seeing he's a really smooth post operator. So right now I'm going to chalk it up to kind of fluky that when he has a big scoring night, CSU kind of gets rolled. I think that's just, you know, a very small sample size, but I think you're seeing, yeah, frankly, I'm going to take it more as a positive look that he's coming into his own, you know, at the D1 level. And if or when CSU can get fully healthy, you might have, you know, an actual variety of options, which right now they don't really.
Yeah, and you throw the UNC loss in there too. He had 23 in that one. So it's just one of those weird things that you point at. But, you know, we talked about this, the long-term effect of this game and what it's going to mean for CSU. I think this is, I mean, obviously this is the worst thing that could have happened down there. I get you look at it and you've got injuries and stuff, but this is a prideful team that Nico Medved had. This is a team that has those aspirations of being an NCAA tournament team, and this loss, you know, on paper is probably not going to hurt them, but does some of that respect that they gained last year, is it starting to slip a little bit with these blowout losses?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. I mean, CSU, like you say, has kind of been walloped a couple times, and it's just the roller coaster they're riding right now. They can, you know, again, as we've seen, they can be pretty good, but on their poor nights, they're really poor, frankly. You know, big picture, like you said, this is a game you know, pretty much everyone expects CSU to lose. You know, I think New Mexico has to be considered the Mountain West favorite now. You know, going into the year, I certainly thought San Diego State, but with what New Mexico's done, I have to give it to them. So losing at the Pit, I mean, I would be a little surprised if New Mexico loses a home game in league play. Maybe there will be a fluky one, but so from that view, like, it's not really a surprising loss. How it happened, yeah, it kind of frustrates you, but there are games I'm a lot more concerned about that will, you know, raise alarm bells, and Saturday is one of them. It's much more important CSU win Saturday than, you know, lose close compared to lose that blowout at the Pit.
Yeah, it's Rams Weekly, Kevin Lytle with the Colorado, and I'm Tanner Schwint filling in for Brady Hull. Talk to me about John Tonje and Isaiah Rivera and what they mean to this team, because those were the two who really were going to be the focal point of CSU until all of a sudden Isaiah Stevens came back way healthier. What have you seen from them this year? Are they underperforming? Or is this about the team that you expected to see?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like the team as a whole, they've ridden a little bit of a roller coaster. I mean, Rivera was really good early. He had the buzzer beater in the first week of the season, basically. He had some good moments last night early on and then sort of faded out. And then John Tonje, you know, if you look at Tonje's scoring numbers, they're frankly what I kind of hoped they would be, but overall performance maybe isn't as consistent as you would hope. You know, he'll have some games or, you know, like the USC game where he kind of is ineffective. Even last night, the numbers ended up good, but I think there was some, you know, late scoring that, you know, frankly was inconsequential. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. And I think those guys are still adjusting or trying to find the way to consistently be, you know, sort of top guys rather than secondary role guys. And, you know, that's not for everyone. And, you know, we're seeing it at times, but again, not consistently. And that's, I keep saying the same thing. I need to, you know, pull up a thesaurus and find a different word for consistent, but that really is the theme of this team in every way. Defensively, they're sometimes very good, sometimes very poor. Offensively, they're sometimes very good, sometimes very poor. And as you can imagine, that leads to results, sometimes very good, sometimes very bad. So that's just what this team is right now. They really need to find a little bit more level play that, you know, maybe even on your poor night, you play a little better. And again, some of that can come back to getting some guys healthy. I mean, you look at a Jalen Lake, his numbers aren't incredible, but defensively, man, they could have used him on Jalen House last night.
Yeah, it just, to me, seems like the biggest difference with this team, besides the obvious of David Roddy, but you don't have that it factor. Like, Isaiah Stevens isn't as good of a basketball player as David Roddy is. That's just, I know, completely different players, but Roddy was just, he was the guy throughout the entire Mountain West. And now Isaiah Stevens, once he gets completely back and acclimated and the Rams have that sense of consistency, maybe he can be, but, you know, who's going to be his Robin to his Batman? And that's what I feel like the Rams are missing a little bit right now.
Yeah, it turns out losing a first-round NBA draft pick can hurt a team.
That's breaking news. You heard it here first.
Yeah. But no, it's totally true that this team – so last year, whenever CSU was struggling and needed, you know, to break an in-game funk, kind of the default was toss it to David Roddy. He'll make some stuff happen, and they can kind of right the ship. And you don't have that as much this year, you know. Isaiah Stevens is the guy to do that. But, again, the guy's coming back from a broken foot. You know, I had a couple people only on Twitter, which is always the voice of reason, kind of grumbling last night. Like, well, I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses, but, you know, break a foot. Yeah, he's been back for a few games, but you're probably not going to be fully informed when you miss a month of, you know, training. You're probably going to look somewhat inconsistent. So yeah, you come again, combine all these things, and CSU doesn't really have that, you know, stopper, so to speak, right now to stop the bleeding. And, you know, they were bleeding out in the first few minutes there when New Mexico went out 17-0 run. That's a point where last year, you know, you would just, you know, New Mexico would be on 8-0 run or whatever. They would throw it into David Roddy, who would have dunked on someone, and it would have calmed everything down. And they just don't have that at the moment. Well, instead, what you got was some forced shots of guys trying to do that. It's one of those almost over trying, you know, trying to make some big happen when maybe a simple thing will work. So that's what you're seeing right now.
No, and they did answer back with a nice run of their own, but that consistency right there, there's your word of the day, kids. It's consistency. This is Rams Weekly. I'm Tanner Schwint in for Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle. We'll be back with more about what this Mountain West Basketball Conference is going to look like this year on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. It is Rams Weekly. I'm Tanner Schwint, one of the co-hosts of Good Morning NOCO, filling in for Brady Hull here. Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and still making his way back up from New Mexico after being down there at that game. Kevin, you know, we saw that the Rams finally had somebody who completed the pit challenge of rolling the basketball up that ramp. Did you ever attempt it?
Oh, my gosh. No, luckily, never had an opportunity. Which is good because I'm sure I would have embarrassed myself. It's, you know, I've taken pictures of it before. I think I tweeted one out, but I think you really can't get a grasp. Like, you have to be there. It is a steep, steep ramp. That's pretty impressive. And CSU had two. I've never seen CSU complete it. And then two guys did, and both freshmen. So, if CSU is going to start, you know, like a extreme bowling team, I like their chances. You know, Kyle Evans, Jack Payne. You know, these guys, I'm sure, you know how it happens. I'm sure everyone on the team was talking up, oh, it's so hard. Like, you think you can do it, but you can't. And then the two freshmen walk up and say, what's the problem, guys? Like, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to put the freshman back into their place after that. But it does. It looks doable from the camera angles. Did you get winded going up it or down it, Kevin?
Well, it's funny going up it. Yeah, you know, you're working the glutes pretty good, quads, everything's hurting, and then going down, you're trying to pace yourself so you don't go tumbling down. It really is kind of a fun, you know, I guess unique thing to the pit. And like I say, it's not an accident that they, you know, they send the teams up that locker room so the visitor, right, you know, they get to the top, they have the oxygen sign and all that. So it's definitely a mind game effect that they're trying to do there.
Yeah, Kevin. Well, let's dive into this Mountain West Conference. You know, New Mexico is like you said. I think they're the odds-on favorite. You know, Nevada's right there. San Diego State. Give me your overall takeaway of this team, of this conference. Is this the year where they don't cannibalize themselves and really could be looking at a four, possibly five bid league?
Yeah, I mean, I think my first takeaway is that this is the deepest the Mountain West has been, top to bottom. In, you know, I don't even know. I can't even name when it would be because you look, you know, San Jose State, worst team in the league last year. Well, they have 10 wins before the new year, and they just beat 11, previously 11-1 UNLV to open Mountain West play. You know, even Air Force, you know, I think Air Force is their bottom team. I think they have 8 wins, maybe. You know, Nevada beat Boise State last night, and Boise was last year's champion. UNLV, like I say, they took a bad loss, but they already have 11 wins. I think this league is really deep. You know, 4 teams last year. I think 4 is very realistic again this year. And, yeah, there will be some, you know, teams beating each other, but the metrics are so good that, you know, that'll be fine. Like, you can take some losses and still get in. You know, you look at UNLV, like I say, in your mind it says, oh, my gosh, you lost to San Jose State. That's a terrible defeat. That was a quad 2 game. San Jose State is a quad 2 right now. I mean, that's crazy. So I think the league is really good. We'll see what happens. You know, Wyoming's the worst team right now, which is mind-boggling. But if they can get Graham Ike back, you know, they could be really dangerous, and they could really mess some teams up by giving, you know, what in basketball terms wouldn't be a bad loss because a healthy Wyoming is good, but metric terms would be a really bad loss. So it's going to be funky. But right now, you know, I think 4 teams are probably getting in. I still don't trust UNLV. I don't trust Nevada. I don't trust Utah State, but all their metrics are really good. So they have, you know, certainly chances to prove that wrong.
Do you see, I mean, a couple years ago we saw Wyoming with Larry Nance Jr. out most of the year. Then he comes back for the tournament. They win the tournament and get in. Do you see a similar situation setting up here with Graham Ike being out?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say just with Wyoming. Obviously, they're the most obvious, you know, kind of pick for that because, like I say, they're not the worst team in the league roster-wise. If they get healthy, which is a big if, they can be dangerous. But you look, again, when a league is this good, a lot of teams, you know, in 3 or 4 days in March could go win the tournament. I mean, yeah, CSU's inconsistent, but, you know, you tell me this team couldn't turn on 3 straight games and win it. Wyoming, same thing. You know, Nevada, Boise, UNLV, San Jose State, New Mexico, San Jose State. You know, I think Fresno State right now is kind of the only team that I look at and think can't. Oh, well, Fresno and Air Force, I should say, are the only teams I look at and can't find a way that they, you know, couldn't string together 3 or 4 games in March. So yeah, it's going to be a super fun tournament. Obviously, we're looking way ahead, but yeah. Big picture, I think the depth is incredible, and right now I think Mountain West has a great chance to get 4, I think certainly 3.
The Mountain West, I mean, it seems like every year we start to see these top teams, CSU last year, okay, they get to the Big Dance, they can certainly make some noise, things like that, and then they get to the tournament and it's just been a horrible showing. Does that change this year?
I think so. I thought it would last year too. You know, to be honest, I thought there were a couple teams that could win a game at least in the tournament. You know, we'll see how the seeding shakes. Obviously, we're a long ways away. But, you know, right now, you know, the eye test, I look at New Mexico, I look at San Diego State and think, you know, why on earth couldn't those teams win a tournament game? And, of course, you know, CSU last year got a really unfortunate seed facing a Michigan team that, again, you know, had been really inconsistent, but was, you know, the talent of like a 3 seed. So that was just unfortunate seeding. So, you know, a lot of it's just the luck of the draw, but their team's talented enough to win in the tournament. But, you know, again, we'll talk a lot more about this come March, but Mountain West does need to start winning games once they get there.
Well, and it's just, it's so hard to compare conference to conference. You know, sure, there's a lot of, in the non-conference games, there's a lot of these matchups. You say, okay, you know, where does the Mountain West stack up? But at the end of the day, you know, those early non-con games get thrown out by the end of the year because everyone's still trying to get their footing. It's just really damn hard to compare conference to conference right now.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it, you know, there's just no good way. You know, you even look at a lot of comparables. You know, St. Mary's has played about half the Mountain West, and it's hard to decipher from those results. You know, they beat San Diego State, but CSU, you know, won at St. Mary's. Does that mean CSU is better than San Diego State? No, I don't think so. But that just kind of goes to show how, you know, these one-off games, especially like you mentioned early in the season, are very, you know, they obviously matter for your metrics, but it's very hard to put too much stock into exactly what they mean.
As we sit here today on December 29th, ahead of the new year, it's fair to say that CSU is not a March Madness team, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, they just haven't done, again, to use my consistent word, they just haven't strung together weeks of good play to make you believe that. You know, there are still enough games that they could get there, but it's very hard for me to see a path right now with how they're playing, how limited they are in some ways. You know, it can change. You know, the Mountain West tournament is probably their best bet. But no, right now I cannot see an at-large bid for CSU.
Nico Medved's, you know, grown enough of a reputation and enough of a you know, proven enough that he's a quality coach for anybody to get too upset if they have a down year here, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I'll say anyone because, again, the
Twitter
folks of Twitter,
right.
Yeah, I got kind of my first, you know, Medved's not the guy tweet last
that
night.
That is insane.
I said, okay. Yeah, it's like, okay, if you have some complaints, there are certainly some things you can gripe about, but of all of the games where you're going to make your decision that Medved's not the guy, you choose CSU playing a top 25 team in one of the most hostile crowds when CSU only has 8 players, okay, cool. Like, if that's your make or break evaluation, then I'm not, you know, I'm not sure what you're thinking. So yeah, I mean, there are certainly some reasons to be frustrated. Or maybe not even frustrated, just concerned about where the team is right now. But if you want to use last night as some big pivot point, then I think you don't understand college basketball very well.
I think that's completely fair. The rationale behind that one's not quite there. We'll come back on the other side when we do. Let's break down this San Jose State matchup that the CSU Rams have on Saturday. Maybe a little bit more intriguing than what first meets the eye. We'll discuss next on Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. We get done taking on the number 22 ranked team in the country at the Pit, and you hope to come home to the safe confines and take on a San Jose State team who, you know, in year two with a new head coach. Oh, a familiar head coach, right, Kevin, for CSU fans?
Old friend Tim Miles. Tim is, one, he's a very, very good coach, as we'll talk about in a minute here, but kind of personally and selfishly, he's one of my favorite people in the industry. He was CSU's coach when I was a student at CSU and, you know, just a young, dumb kid at the Collegian trying to figure out what I was doing. And he was always very gracious with his time and also just hilarious. I mean, the guy is very funny, drops more F-bombs in an interview than anyone I've ever met. You have to, you know, censor him out a little bit, but just a fun guy to talk to. Yeah, basketball-wise, man, he's doing a phenomenal job at San Jose State.
Yeah, he really is. This is Rams Weekly. I'm Tanner Schwint in for Brady Hull here. Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins Coloradoan. As we break down the San Jose State game, you know, you looked at it heading into the year. I think most people would have marked this as a win, but the win that San Jose State got last night kind of turned some heads.
Yeah, I mean, San Jose State, you know, basically since the Spartans joined the Mountain West, like you say, a schedule comes out and you check that down as 2 wins, home and road, because San Jose State has been terrible forever, basically. But then Tim Miles rolls in, and I saw a quote from him. He says, he's the FEMA of coaches. When you have a disaster, you call me, and I come in to try and help fix it. And he's really good at it. I mean, CSU was an absolute dumpster fire when he took over, and within years, they're very good. And, you know, he left, you know, with CSU and NCAA tournament team, went to Nebraska, which was, you know, again, kind of a dumpster fire. And, I still think they made a mistake in firing him, but he got that team to an NCAA tournament. And then San Jose State was arguably one of the most irrelevant, programs in Division One. And now they're at 10 wins, you know, on December 29th or whatever the heck day it is. He's doing a great job. They beat UNLV, who is 11-1, and this is a legitimately solid program that, you know, it looks like they're probably have a good chance to maybe get into a postseason tournament. Obviously, we're not talking NCAA tournament, but, you know, a CBI or whatever, they could maybe play in the postseason, which just having that conversation is frankly ludicrous and speaks to what a good job he does. Because San Jose State, not only have they been bad, but no resources. They play in like a high school gym. There are never any fans there. But he has players. That tells you, you know, how likable and how good a coach he is, that he's getting players there, because it is hard to do. And, you know, no offense to San Jose State, I think Tim is getting himself hired out of there this year because of what he's doing right now.
Well, this is just year two, right?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, even with Tim Miles, I figured it'd be until year three, till you saw, you know, big progress. But that's not the case. You know, we'll see how they handle the gauntlet of the Mountain West. There's obviously going to be a lot to come. But starting with a home win over UNLV, it was a great, great way to do it. You know, if they can win even five or six conference games, would probably be pretty good for them. And you know, I think there's a chance they'll do, you know, more damage than that. And no doubt, this is not an easy game for CSU. They, you know, they have several good players, but Amari Moore really is a highlight. I had him on my preseason all-conference ballot, and I'm feeling pretty good about that one right now.
Yeah, I don't, this is the mind-boggling thing for me about college athletics. You get a guy like Tim Miles, right, who goes up, he's working his way, you know, like you just said, with Nebraska, he's doing these things, and then they're like, yeah, not good enough. It's like, there's not much patience in college athletics, and a guy like Tim Miles, for as good of a coach as he is, and the proof's in the pudding right here, why he's bounced around a little bit is just kind of mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, what's Nebraska done since he left, and that's kind of, you know, one of the reasons I say, well, were you guys sure that was a good idea? But like I say, I think another program is going to be sniffing around Tim Miles, you know, this off season, and he's one, you know, when we were talking last season, you know, what if Nico Medved gets hired away? You know, it would have been, you know, deja vu all over again. But I would have said Tim Miles should be, you know, near the top of the list, and you know, he may be going on to bigger and better things pretty soon with this success he's having.
So does this, and this is what's always kind of confused me too, does this success with a low-end Mountain West team, does it get the same amount of respect and national attention from the big guys looking around, or would he have to do almost a, like, kind of a lateral but a step-up move, kind of like what we saw with Jay Norvell from Nevada over to CSU? Is that the first step for Tim Miles, or do you think he would be getting attention from some of these bigger schools?
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see. I think people, you know, the people in college basketball understand how big a job the San Jose State is. So it's not one where, you know, you'll say, well, he didn't, you know, he's not even in the NCAA tournament. Well, you know, how's that impressive? I think people know that San Jose State, it's hard to win anything there. So I think that'll get attention, but I could see a path where he goes to another, you know, mid-major type, but a, you know, more resource mid-major before trying to leap again to, you know, a high major. But I could also see some of these high majors. We'll see what jobs open up. Obviously, that's always one of the main factors. But I think people in basketball know that Tim Miles is a heck of a rebuilder. And, you know, if this was his job, that's probably where he might have to do, you know, a slight upgrade, but kind of lateral like Norvell did. But he has a pretty darn good resume. So I think a lot of people will, you know, kind of have his name on a short list. Does that mean he gets hired at, you know, a Big Ten school or something like that? No, not necessarily, but his name is certainly going to circulate.
We're talking Kevin Lytle. I'm Tanner Schwinn. It's Rams Weekly here. ESPN gives CSU a 79% chance of winning this game. Is that overestimating the Rams just a little bit?
Either overestimating CSU or underestimating San Jose State, I'd say it's one of them. And part of it is, you know, what's CSU's roster look like? Are Tavy Jackson and Jalen Lake back? If they are, I feel a lot more comfortable about CSU. But the word I got from everyone at the Pit last night was that they hope one or both could be back, but it's far from a guarantee. So I think CSU is definitely a favorite. They should win this game, but it's not a, to use a terrible pun, it's not a slam dunk.
Night, that was a terrible pun. That was well done by you.
Well, that's what happens when you've been on the road for like 900 hours in the last 2 weeks. You know, it feels like I'm just commuting up and down I-25.
I don't know if you could have picked a worse road either.
Well, it's not my favorite.
No, I didn't figure it would be. But those two guys, in your minds, make that big of a difference for this CSU team?
Yeah, and it's not just who they are. And obviously, both are good players in a lot of ways. I mean, again, Jalen Lake, CSU would love to have him to defend Amari Moore. Tavi Jackson, they just need his spark offensively. He's the guy that when they are in a funk, he can just go beat some off the dribble. But more importantly, he gives, one, just depth as far as minutes, but two, depth in options. Again, I think we're seeing they have a lot of guys that are solid individually, but they kind of need all of them as a collective to be at their best. So yeah, I think they, not that they can't win if those guys aren't there. Even without them, I think CSU needs to beat San Jose State, but it would sure help.
Yeah, it would. And this is one where I think if they lose this game, at home, at Moby Madness, if they lose this one, this is when, alarm bells, panic bells, that big red button, I think that's when that's going to be pushed.
Yeah, losing at home to San Jose State would be a lot more concerning to me than getting blown out at the Pit. Not even close, honestly. And then I should also mention, just talking absences, Josiah Strong is still out. He's been battling, illness and stuff. And he's a guy CSU fans really haven't gotten to see much because of this. But he, everything I've heard and watched and know about him is a very good perimeter defender, kind of has some of that dog in him, just one of those really tough guys. And they're a really good shooter. So, they're missing him. And, unfortunately, he's probably not coming back anytime soon. So just another, kind of, pull it out of the revolver there that they just can't use right now. So, yeah, this is an important game Saturday just to right the ship. Like I said, this team is fine right now. There's nothing terribly wrong. It's not looking like an NCAA tournament team, but it's still looking like a pretty good team, but just some of the losses, I think, have kind of raised eyebrows because of how they happened.
Well, I think we, as CSU fans, maybe got a little spoiled last year seeing what they had there. It's Rams Weekly. Yeah. Kevin Lytle, I'm Tanner Schwant. We'll come back and wrap this thing up next. It's Rams Weekly on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Rams Weekly here on a Thursday afternoon. I'm Tanner Schwant, co-host of Good Morning NOCO, in for Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And where in the wide world is Chris Abshire at right now?
Hopefully not on I-25.
Kevin is...
That's all I can think about right now.
Kevin is traveling back from New Mexico. Yeah, there's a lot of places in the world that I would like to be. I-25 is not one of those, Kevin. Oh, will you make it back for the New Year's Eve festivities?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be working New Year's Eve day. There's some basketball to play. But, yeah, it'll be all good.
So how do you – I mean, this is the part of the job where there's a lot of people who want to be sports reporters and stuff like that until they see the schedule that comes out, and it's like, I got to work this day. What? And, New Year's Eve day is one of them for sure, but how do you handle the New Year's Eve festivities afterwards, Kevin? Are you a stay-at-home and kind of asleep by midnight, or are you out on the town tearing it down?
Yeah, no, I don't usually do much on New Year's Eve. Generally watch a lot of football, depending on what games are on and whatnot. And I think I'm going out to dinner after basketball this week, but usually nothing too crazy.
No, and listen, I'm a young dude. You're a young dude. This has always been amateur night for me, man. Like, let's stay the hell away from it. Let's just stay at home and let all these other morons go out and tear the town down.
Yeah, this is when the, like, pragmatic curmudgeon in me comes out. So, I mean, it's just another day. Like, yeah, you flip the calendar, but literally the same as the next day.
So you don't have any New Year's resolutions?
No, definitely not a New Year's resolution guy.
Well, if the CSU Rams had to make a New Year's resolution for their team, what would it be?
Get healthy. I mean, I guess that is a common resolution, but not in the way, common people like us talk about it. People like us, it's like, well, maybe I can run a mile this month. CSU, it's heal some those type of things, which like I said, you can't really do much about, but they would love that.
Yeah, it is.
I guess a basketball one would be consistent. There we go.
There you go.
We came back to that word.
That's what you call circling around right back to that. Yeah. That's not a term that is used a whole lot with sports. Is it consistency? It's not important.
Yeah, right. No, that's a storytelling arc right there.
Well, this team, I think, and I've said this a lot. I said this on Good Morning NOCA when you were on with us on Tuesday, that this was an important game in my mind. They needed to be competitive, if not go out there and try and win this. So I'll be honest, the loss to New Mexico, and this is why we talk to the insiders, this is why we talk to you, Kevin, and why the show's out there, that loss demoralized me quite a bit because I knew how good New Mexico was, but I thought it was a pretty good, you know, measuring stick game, and the Rams came up well short. Tell me what, I mean, you think I'm wrong that I shouldn't be demoralized about the outlook of the season based on this game. I am. I find myself at that point right now.
Yeah, no, I'm the opposite. And certainly there are concerns I have about this team, no doubt. I'm not saying that I don't, but that New Mexico team played out of their brain last night. That, I think they beat just about anyone in the country playing that way. Again, yeah, CSU was far from perfect, but New Mexico was fantastic. So that one really does not raise much level of concern for me. Again, there are parts of it, you know, I'm concerned about, you know, how CSU's offense can kind of disappear at times. I'm concerned at some of the stretches they go through with either bad shot choices or bad turnovers. I'm concerned at times about the defense, but that game itself doesn't really change my view on the scope of the season.
Well, and there's a lot of stuff on the day-to-day that we don't see, and the challenges of this coaching staff, too. Balancing injuries, balancing minutes for other guys. Your star player is coming off of a broken foot, and even physically, if he's all the way back, which I don't know, do you think he is?
I think he is physically. I think it's more one of those, you miss a month of not being able to play in practice, that's going to affect your game and how you're playing. I think it's more of that than actual physical limitation.
Right, and I tend to lean that way too. But, you know, one thing that we don't talk about for these college athletes, it seems like it doesn't get talked about really in athletics at all, is the mental block of, am I 100% back? Am I, you know, can I power off of this to go up, you know, and shoot this ball?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that a lot, and you got to wonder, that's got to be in Isaiah Stevens' mind, but we don't see any of this for the coaching staff on a day-to-day basis. Who's starting? How are we going to rotate these guys? What's the strengths? Where can we go get that shot? I mean, Nico Medved's got a puzzle right now that he's trying to piece together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, sort of that mental burn part is really important, and we don't talk about enough. You know, I'll shoulder some of that blame, and just all the other things going on. And, you know, even last night, this is a unique situation, but CSU was basically unable to regather as a team because of all the travel issues. You had, you know, one guy drove 14 hours to meet the team in Albuquerque. Oh, yeah, a couple, I think five total players, a couple staff members, I think it was, had to basically drive from where they had been for Christmas to meet up with the team. You had one player that didn't show up until game day yesterday because of the travel issues. So, again, that's not an excuse. That's not why they lost or anything. But, you know, that type of stuff wears people down physically and mentally, too. So you're going to see, you know, college kids have off nights sometimes because, you know, that's life. So I think all of this is playing into factor. Again, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for CSU. You know, they're not the only team that had travel issues or whatever. But, it, you know, a lot of stuff is playing in. CSU's kind of had smooth sailing for a few years, you know, other than some COVID issues, which, again, everyone had. CSU's been pretty healthy and stuff and hasn't battled a lot of adversity, whereas, you know, they are now this year. So it's just a really challenging year right now for CSU.
Well, let me ask you this, Kevin. Would you rather be driving down I-25 or have a flight 3 hours from now booked with Southwest?
Given everything right now, there's a reason I'm driving, folks.
Yeah,
there's a reason I drove back from Phoenix.
There's no doubt. It's insane, but that stuff, and it's not, I mean, it's no discredit to you. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that you are CSU athletics. But that stuff that even the best coaches, you know, is as open as they want to be with the media, they try and shield the outside from seeing a whole lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to air all your, dirty laundry, so to speak. It's not bad stuff, but, some stuff, should be kept in-house. Of course, teams want to do that, and that totally makes sense. But yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that this team is fighting through more than they've had to in previous years, which, again, you can tell just by watching. I mean, and just by seeing who is and isn't playing. And I can't remember the last time the last time prior to this season that CSU only had 8 scholarship players available. That's, that just speaks to some of the, challenges they're facing.
So this is one thing that I saw you tweet out and I wanted to dive into. Why is there no red shirt for basketball?
Yeah, it's absurd. So for those that don't know, in football, a player can play in up to 4 games, but still maintain a red shirt. And the reason that rule passed, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. And part of the reason was to protect from injury. If you have more guys available to play, it helps keep everyone healthier. And 2, it helps incentivize players, helps develop players that, they're maybe not really fully playing in 1 year, but they get a little taste of college. But for some reason, basketball doesn't have, if you play 1 minute in a season, you burn your red shirt. And I just think it's absurd. You look at last night, CSU only has 8 guys. They're battling some injuries. It's a blowout game. They have Jack Payne, who's redshirting this year. Why on earth are they not allowed to put him on the court for, just 2 minutes at the end of the game? Maybe save, a guy like Isaiah Stevens, who's coming off a broken foot. Save him a few minutes of wear and tear. And get Jack Payne a little experience. It seems like it would be a win-win to me, but as of right now, you can't do it without burning a redshirt year, and obviously you're not going to burn a kid's year of eligibility just to play 2 minutes at the end of a blowout.
Yeah, no doubt. Kevin, does CSU beat San Jose State?
Yes.
Yes, I'm with you as well. Hey, thanks, buddy. Safe travels. This has been Rams Weekly right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.